Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
The show's namesake, BJ Shea, is still on assignment. But running the boards is Joey D.
Hey, that's me.
I want to have that little moment of silence for us to remember. Well, there's nothing bad. Nothing bad with BJ. Sorry, that came out really weird. I was going to be like, because BJ's not here. Never mind that. I ruined that. On today's show.
I think he's pooping.
Yeah, he's probably pooping. On today's show, I will talk about how much I love the new thing that Fallout 76 has. We'll talk some comic books and the fact that, because I love talking about the Hulk, he has wielded the Infinity Gauntlet before Avengers Endgame. Twice.
Hmm.
Vicky?
Yes?
Baby Yoda has breakfast cereal.
What?
And then I'm probably going to disappoint you with the cancellation of one of the shows you like, and maybe more. But we'll also get to the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or, you know, just search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes to find us.
Exactly. And Joe, are you still playing Sea of Thieves?
Yeah.
See, I have the Xbox Game Pass, and you play on PC, right?
Yes.
So I don't think there's cross-play with that. I don't know.
There is not.
Yeah. But I have the Xbox Game Pass, and you can play Sea of Thieves on there. So I'm like, oh, sweet, I'm going to download it. And I downloaded it, and then I found out that Fallout 76 is now doing a new thing, and I've been literally playing that every single day.
That did not surprise me.
Yeah, they figured out a way to do it, because now they have Fallout 76 seasons, which a lot of games do this now. I remember, especially the big one for me recently has been Apex Legends. Well, they'll do seasons where you, while you're playing, you can collect cool things, and if you actually subscribe to their season pass, you can get even cooler stuff once you hit certain milestones. You can get stuff if it's free to play, if you're just doing the free to play, but obviously you'll get more if you pay more.
So what has 76 given you?
Well, this first season is free for everyone, and I don't know what they're going to be doing in the future with this, but they've kind of got me on this. It's a new account-wide progression system, so you can play on different characters if you've got alts and you want to do that sort of thing, but it overhauls their challenge system and helps you earn a lot of different rewards as you're doing it, and they did it in a board game fashion. So, like with most things, you complete a challenge, you get points for that challenge, however which many you get. You have a certain amount of daily challenges and you have a certain amount of weekly challenges, and after each level you hit, you will be able to get a prize. So what they call it is score. So you complete the in-game activities to earn your score points and advance your position on the game board, which is literally called the Legendary Run, and it's set up on a whole 100 system. Every level is a game, like a little game block that you move forward on. So very board game-esque on that. Challenges are given daily and weekly, asking you to do stuff from like eating food to killing specific enemies to building stuff. It runs the whole gamut. So even if you can't do everything every day, if you love a certain play style, you're going to be able to do that. You'll be able to rank up to get those more points and unlock those rewards. In addition to this, and I think this is the best thing about all of that, was the fact that they've overhauled their grouping system as well. Because it was a bit cumbersome to try to get into groups with people, but now they have essentially like quick pug groups. So, you know, public groups where you can just say, hey, I want to go and I want to run a bunch of events. let me group up with a group of people who just want to do events. And if you're all in that group, you get special event bonus. Like, you'll get more experience when you complete events.
How many people are they allowing in those?
4 people.
Okay.
As per normal group makeup. So it's just the same thing. And you can just auto-join somebody's, or you can make your own and let people auto-join. And then when you're moving on beyond that, they have other ones for like, hey, I just want to build, and you get like experience for that. Or I just want to go hunt legendaries. You can go ahead and you'll get more kill experience. They're all differently set and able, so you can get better experience for all of those things. It's moved it from a solitary game where you're kind of just walking around by yourself into a game, especially with the last Wastelanders that brought in NPCs to the game. It brought in so much more interaction. And it's really amazing to me to see how they've overhauled this game, which, you know, was pretty poo-pooed at the beginning. And if I didn't have a tolerance for Bethesda's bugs,
yeah,
I could understand why people would be mad. And it's not to say that this game is perfect, especially if you look online. You can find people who will just nitpick the hell out of it. But if you love stuff like Skyrim, like Fallout 4, this feeds that itch. And I love it so much.
Yeah, it's probably a much more completed game now. Turns out they push out games real fast these days.
Well, yeah, and that's the, I mean, with Bethesda 2, when you have the standalone offline games, you can kind of get away, or at least they've been able to get away with it, because they let the community do the patches. So there's always the unofficial patch that fixes everything that you have to put into your game. You can't do that with an online game, because you get the hackers, which Fallout 76 has seen a lot of problems on the PC side of stuff, which is why I'm really glad I play it on the Xbone, because it's harder to hack. You can't really do it that easily. I don't know if people can, but it's a real pain in the ass on the PC version.
Dude, hackers ruin everything, man. Especially, like, I play Call of Duty, and oh my god, every time there's a new patch, oh, here's a new wave of hackers, and I'm like, do you guys really have fun hacking? I don't know why. You're not even playing the game.
Yeah, and that was, I remember playing Counter-Strike back in the day, and you would know people who are hacking, and so my buddy decided, well, he was going to get his own aimbot and wall hacks, but he was only going to use it, quote-unquote, when somebody else was hacking. And then suddenly you realize you're finding any excuse as to why maybe that person is hacking. It's like, that guy just totally shot me. That's nothing. It's like, yeah, how did you do that? And you're like, well, maybe it's lag. Maybe you're bad. Maybe he's really good. He's like, no, he's hacking. I'm just going to shoot him through walls now.
Ha ha.
Yeah, exactly. And then it just becomes an arm race to use hacks.
Fun times.
Yeah, not really so much. But no matter what you think of Fallout 76, if you've enjoyed it in the past and you love the Wastelander stuff, this is a perfect lead-in for you to play a lot more of it and have some more fun with it. I'm really, essentially at this point, I'm playing a kind of a comedy character, 60-year-old fat dude named Grady Brady, who kind of mumbles to himself when he's playing, trying to look around, like hacking terminals, trying to figure out his Facebook password, you know, just some of the goofy stuff. So this is kind of how I'm having that revitalization. Plus, I can actually get things, and it gives you the progression. It gives you the fake internet points that help you want to play even more.
Oh, yeah. That's how they get you.
Exactly. I mentioned the fact that the Hulk has wielded the Infinity Gauntlets before, and I love this because before Endgame, like, I didn't expect him when I first watched Endgame to be the one to wield it, but then after they did all the stuff, it's like, well, that kind of makes sense. And it worked out, and it worked really well. Plus, the gamma radiation helped him heal. He's got at least not a healing factor, but he's strong enough to deal with all of that stuff.
The Hulk's pretty unknown. You really don't know. I mean, his power is just limitless, so you're not really surprised when he does anything.
And while Bruce Banner used the infinity power of the gauntlet to reverse Thanos' devastation in the MCU, that's all he did with it. Like, he didn't do anything more with it, which is kind of, you know, I was hoping he would use it a lot more. Slated as a more grim and gritty take on the traditional characters in the Ultimate Universe, they took a little bit more of the risks than they did with the normal 616 universe. Or is it 619? 616? It's one of those, whatever. There's so many different universes. Yeah. In the Ultimate Universe, the Hulk went through a few of quite of his changes, as his powers would be the result of a botched replication of the Super Soldier Serum rather than through the gamma bomb radiation. Things would get even more complicated for Bruce Banner in the Ultimate Universe, as he was prone to flying off the handle and be viewed negatively by the general public following a battle with Spider-Man and the Ultimate Marvel team-up. There he was asked to join the universe's Avengers in Mark Miller and Brian Hitch's Ultimates, but his unreliability and volatility got him demoted. And this actually built up resentment with an angry Banner. And so basically he just kind of got really super pissed and was going through all of these different things. And that's when, he actually, and when I'm talking about him wielding two Infinity Gauntlets, it was two Infinity Gauntlets at the same time.
What?
Where'd he get two?
Here's the thing.
Time travel.
No, it looks like they had, instead of a normal six Infinity Stones or gems, whatever you want to call these, the two gauntlets would hold a total of 8 gems.
What gems? Wait, what?
Yeah, so, and it's like, I've got to look a little bit more into this because I want to see, I like the Ultimate Universe in terms of some of the things they've done. They turned Reed Richards into an ultimate villain with him being the Master. So it's kind of, or the Maker, sorry, he was the Maker. So it's very kind of cool because it's just like, wow, yeah, it makes sense that he'd be able to be doing that.
Who would he need two gauntlets and 8 stones to fight?
Well, he wanted to fight the Ultimates because they had demoted him and pissed him off. So he acquired these, and he was using this to augment his power, citing that they've tortured him and used him as a weapon. And despite their best efforts, including melting Hulk into a sludge-like substance, they couldn't stop the combined power of Hulk and the Infinity Gauntlets. While he was reforming, however, he only managed to retain one of the gauntlets, and the other one was retrieved by his co-conspirator, the Maker, which I think maybe wielded it. I got to go talk with my buddy Ethan at Destiny City Comics, and I got to see if, like, I need to figure out the best role because I want to see the rise and fall of Reed Richards going from the Fantastic Four into the Maker, because I thought we've been talking about antagonists, and it's like one of those things that's like he's one of those very interesting, compelling ones because he's really, really evil when it comes down to it, but it's that science evil. Where you're like, well, you're doing experiments, so
it's just an experiment.
Yeah.
With some beakers.
And, oh, no. Yeah, right. And it turns out, actually, that both the gloves and the gems would eventually be relinquished to Kang the Conqueror, which in the Ultimate Universe turns out to be Sue Storm.
Whoa.
Yeah, from a desolate future, because everything comes from the future and messes everything up.
I love all those comic books.
Yeah. I just love the fact that, like with the Ultimate Universe, they were able to do so many weird different things and just have some fun with it and kind of go nuts with it. And it's like, yeah, what if there were two Infinity Gauntlets? Now, I don't know what the 8 gems were. I'm just trying to think of what the other two could be. But love and what's the other one from Captain Planet? Earth, fire,
water, wind.
And heart.
Heart.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I'm definitely going to have to talk with some comic book fanatics and figure out the runs on that one.
Yeah, I'm like, who made the second gauntlet anyways?
Right? I know. It's like, how did these get constructed? How are they working with these? It's, yeah.
Thanos killed all the dwarves, from what we were told.
That's just in the MCU, man.
Oh.
There's so many different ones.
We could snap them back.
Oh, hey, Vicky.
Yes.
I know you weren't too interested in that thing, but I found something that you would really, really like. Because I know you love Baby Yoda.
I do love Baby Yoda.
I do too, actually. And major props to Zulu's Board Games that had the Baby Yoda Funko bobblehead that is like actual Baby Yoda size that I was able to procure, which is now hanging out with my full-sized Yoda. Best friends forever.
Scaring your cats.
Actually, you know what? They're pretty ambivalent towards the Baby Yoda, and I do really harass them with it. I like, well, not harass. I'm not like chasing them around, but I'll put it in spots where like they would like to sit on this shelf. I'm going to put a Baby Yoda there and see what they're going to do. Carl didn't even bother to knock it off, so I don't even know if he is if he's okay with
Baby
Yoda.
Maybe he used the Force, like he's just like, I am not the cat toy you're looking for.
Well, apparently it looks like we're getting a breakfast cereal.
What?
Baby Yoda breakfast cereals.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, it looks like it's going to have some, it's going to have, courtesy of General Mills, Baby Yoda sweetened corn puffs with marshmallows. So you get the, almost looks like
it
those
looks
Kix.
Like pop. Kix or Pops.
Yeah, and then little green tiny little Baby Yoda marshmallows.
It is adorable. I will not eat it.
You're not even going to try it?
I'm not a big marshmallow cereal person.
Yeah, But I mean,
it's just too much for me. I'm pretty boring in my cereal.
Oh man, you and your shredded
wheat. But what if you could get the force after eating them?
Right, there you go, huh?
I'll eat it for that.
Oh, yeah, what if they're full of midichlorians?
Ooh.
Which everyone has conveniently forgotten since episode 1.
That's canon.
Sort of canon. The worst kind of canon, the one that you can't get away from.
When they fired Hayden Christensen out of it or whatever after those movies. That kind of canon.
Vicky, well, I know you were a little disappointed with the Baby Yoda breakfast cereal. So now it's time to further disappoint you by letting you know that Netflix has canceled the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina after 4 seasons.
I thought they were going to do a lot more because I know they like basically green lit all like up to 4 basically before the first one even finished airing like the first weekend or something. Something stupid like that. It's like, oh, it just came out or it's coming out next week. Mm-hmm. And we've greenlit it for 3 more seasons.
Yeah. And I know that
they came out pretty quick.
And Netflix does this thing where if most shows will, if it's big or a moderate success, that you will only usually have about 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Stranger Things is a big difference in that. And then with like Chilling Adventures, they got 4 seasons, but I mean,
they kind of cut, like, I feel like they came out with 2 seasons within like 12 months,
which is pretty quick.
Yeah. So I think they had already recorded a lot of it and then just kind of put them out shortly. And that's kind of what they did. I know it's not a nerdy show, but Mr. Iglesias, cause I love Gabriel Iglesias on Netflix. They finally came out with season 2 and I was like, why did I finish this so fast? Cause there's only 6 episodes.
Yeah.
And they're going to come out with another 6 episodes later.
And it looks like
how they're doing it.
And it looks like with part 4, which they're calling season 4, will be the final. So I'm kind of hoping that they knew that this was happening down the pipe and that they were going to have like maybe a 4-season arc so they can end it the way that they want to.
Have you guys kept up to date? Like, do you know what was the last thing that happened?
No, I do not.
Do you care if I...
Spoiler alert, if people want to fast forward maybe 2-3 minutes.
Very quick. It leaves off with... Basically, there are now 2 Sabrinas.
Wait, 2?
The world basically goes to crap, and everyone dies, and she gets trapped.
Oh.
But somehow she was able to kind of mess up, basically time travel. Found a way to time travel and switch places. Like, so they switch places so the past self could come in and change stuff. I forget how that all happened. So what they were supposed to do is switch back so the timeline stayed intact.
And
she decided not to.
Ooh.
Because there's part of her, the one main consistent thing about her is being pulled apart from, I want my normal life as a human, but I also don't want to give up being a witch. Like, I love this part of me. I want to study being a witch, but I want to go to regular high school. So she decided to have best of both worlds. There's part of her that's like, you know what? I kind of like the idea of being the queen of hell. Because she was going to give that to... who was like took over, it's basically Lilith, who took over her teacher's image. And she was going to let her have it. It's like, I'll give you my blessing, but all the other rulers of hell are like, no, we're not going to accept this. We're going to give you our own champion. And she has to beat him. So she needed to beat him in order to give power to Lilith, who was basically like her like right-hand man. What was it, the hand of the king or whatever Game of Thrones?
Totally, yeah.
And then she was going to hand it over to her. And then the last second, she's like, I kind of want it.
I kind of like this. It's kind of fun.
So she ends up being queen of hell, like full queen regalia. And then the other one is off like, I want to be a high school student.
All right. Yeah. Then if it works for both of you.
But the thing, like, I like Sabrina, like the show. It's very beautifully shot. I love the idea that you can't tell what era you're in.
Yeah. Another thing that we were talking about, the weird thing with like Umbrella Academy
or even like Gotham did this too.
Yeah, exactly.
But like there's sometimes hints though, like they'll pull out, like you'll see a shot of like an iPhone. So you're like, okay, it's current time. It's just, this is what the world looks like. But she makes a lot of decisions that are really stupid. And like as an adult who like Sabrina's like what, 15 in this show, 16?
Yeah.
I'm twice her age. So I'm sitting
here.
Why
are you saying these? Why are you doing these dumb things?
You idiot. And I'm like, oh, she's a teenager.
Exactly.
And I'm like, you know what? This actually, that works. I accept this. Because I'm over here saying, why would you do this? Like, you need to talk to your aunts. Kind of come up with a game plan. Don't just do it on your own because you think it's a good idea. And just be, you know.
But how many times did you not want to talk to your
guardians?
Exactly. Because you're like, no, I've got this handled. I'm totally fine. And then everything goes to literally for Sabrina hell. And then it's getting worse. And you're like, well, no, I can still fix this. Oh, it's it's not getting better, but right. I can still.
She does end up fixing it, but she gets the help of her friends throughout all the different things she does, mm-hmm. and she does get in trouble. Like, you seriously went to hell and didn't tell anybody? It's like, you're not supposed to go there. That kind of thing. Like, she does whatever the hell she wants, like any other teenager, and I appreciate that. I like that she doesn't know 100% of what she's doing, and it doesn't always just neatly get wrapped up at the end.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those things. I mean, sure, we're talking about a witch who goes to hell and does all those different things, but having a little bit of grounded reality when it comes down to that, and remembering, yes, these are teenagers doing teenager things, so
yes.
You got to kind of give them a little bit of leeway when it comes down to that.
And I haven't seen the Riverdale show, but I mean, I loved Archie comics when I was a kid.
Well, I did watch the first couple of episodes of it. Mm-hmm. It's not for me, but it is a dark turn because it starts off with like murder and stuff. So right.
It's funny, my dad actually started watching it. He stopped watching it once they hit the mafia stuff. He's like, yeah, that just got too far-fetched.
A little too much there.
He's like, I didn't like it. But I know bits and pieces of it, so you can tell when they make references to Riverdale. It's like they'll have like one of the, I know I've seen at Hot Topic, like the biker jackets they have. And so a biker comes in, like, and he's wearing the jacket. So it's like, okay, yeah. Or like, oh, I really want this, like, sandwich or milkshake in Riverdale. Like, they'll reference it. And even if you're not an avid fan, like, it's kind of fun to hear those little
Easter
eggs. You
kind of notice those things. You mm-hmm. understand all of that. Well, Vicky, stick around because now it is time for...
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Or the Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what is in your brain?
Don't ask that question.
All right, cool. Okay. Well, what do you got for us for the Geek Sheet then?
So I noticed that a lot of people, I don't know if it's because they're the underdog or if it's because they're usually cast to be very sexy, but a lot of people love to root for the antagonists.
Yes, like Thanos.
Okay, you're the only, well, actually, with how there things have go. Been going, I was like, okay, yep. Now I could see it.
Yep, snap them all.
Anyways, that's snap a discussion we're not going to get into says. Today. but there is a lot of characters that people genuinely relate to, and these are 13 TV antagonists.
Oh.
So the one I thought of immediately when I read the title before the TV part was Killmonger.
Yes.
From
yes.
Black Panther.
Michael B. Jordan playing mm-hmm. that, yeah, from 2018's Black Panther.
Yes. Like, I love that you knew all that.
Yep.
But, you know, this is obviously about TV characters, but everyone, there was a lot like, okay, like, I wish he would have stayed in the MCU, but I like the way... Spoiler alert, he exited,
yeah.
As in died.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen Black Panther by now.
You should absolutely watch that. Thinking TV and just thinking, and I'm wondering if she is an antagonist because also I haven't finished season 3 of Westworld, but I feel that in season 3, Dolores became the antagonist. And even getting towards the end of season 2 and towards the middle of it, she seemed to be more of an antagonist than a protagonist. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if she would even be on this list.
Yeah, she is not on this list. But for the number one voted, you know, relatable antagonist is Negan from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things because I think Negan was more straight up in the comic books from what I've read. It's more along the lines of he was a straight up a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan put a little bit more of a kind of a anti-hero lean on it. Like, he has his flawed reasons as mm-hmm. to why he's doing these, and maybe he's not doing it the right way, but...
He's done some messed up stuff.
Right? He has a plan, and when there's the apocalypse, I mean, the rules have gone out the window. You
yeah.
can make your own rules at that point in time. So, yeah, while the saviors may have not been necessarily the best way to go about stuff, it kind of makes sense.
I have a question if someone's on the list. The Kingpin from the Daredevil series.
Ooh, see, I don't know how many people can relate with a super rich art guy who's like very codependent.
And has his, you know, issues that he's not clearly working through.
But in the third season, he has the wife that's very relatable, and you see his troubled past, and he's corrupt, but he doesn't necessarily overstep any boundaries in terms of his evilness. Like, he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, within reason, he does things, you know, in a good sense.
He's a toddler, though, too.
Yeah.
You like embarrass me. Let me smash your head in.
Yeah. Or even just the fact, that he's like, okay, I'm working within, for the most part, he's working within the system. And I mean, obviously exploiting loopholes when he's doing a lot of stuff. And I mean, he's doing some really terrible things with all the other groups of people doing terrible things. But yeah, I can kind of see what you're talking about now at this point.
All right. Well, how about one that everyone just automatically assumed is an a-hole? Tywin Lannister. The thing is, like they say, he might have been the most self-aware character in Westeros. Cold, calculated, pragmatic, and effective. Tywin is exactly the type of person one has to become in order to survive the Seven Kingdoms. And you could even go as far as saying that Tywin is a fictional embodiment of a delusional viewer who has been tasked with winning the Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I mean, and you've got to be pragmatic when you're looking at stuff like that. And I mean, you know, the rest of the, you know, the last two seasons with Stan, you know, don't even worry about those so much. But his arc, like he essentially dictated the whole thing. He knew essentially how it was going to go. He knew that Tyrion was going to be the end of him and cause him nothing but grief. And I mean, Tyrion
granted, he did that to himself. But
yeah, exactly. Right.
It's like you, even though he is a cruel, ruthless human being, he's very intelligent, and you can't help but respect the way he does things. Like, even how he stood up to Joffrey. It's like a man who calls himself the king, like, has to call himself the king, is not the true king.
Yes, exactly.
Another, because some of these aren't super nerdy. Like, for example, they have Toby from The Office. I don't really watch The Office.
Toby was a, I mean, he got asked on in every episode. I don't know if I'd ever really feel sympathetic for him. He went to Jamaica at one point, which was pretty amazing, and then came back. The problem is he loved Pam, and poor Pam never had any feelings for him, but he came off as kind of like a creepy stalker. I never really felt anything but like embarrassment, I guess, for him.
Just cringy.
Yeah, and then they did a good job with it. Like, his character's hilarious, but at the same time, I don't know if I'd ever feel sympathetic for him.
Fair enough. Another one on this list is a show I know Rev likes, Deadwood, Al Swearingen.
Yeah, and that's like...
So, what? I haven't seen Deadwood.
Okay.
Kind of just real brief, what's he like, and why would you say this?
Well, first off, one of the biggest things is the fact that he runs a whorehouse.
Okay.
So, that kind of puts you on the, maybe you're not a good guy sort of side. And he is...
This is the Ian McShane character.
Exactly. He's got a terrible potty mouth, but...
yes.
You learn to have some fun with some certain terrible words, but it comes down to the fact that you can kind of identify in terms of, A, he's a businessman who is using what is essentially the trade of the time a lot, especially with these prospecting towns.
It's the oldest profession.
Yeah, yeah. And so he still cares about certain people. And even though he's kind of an a-hole to a lot of the people, it turns out like when it comes down to protecting the town itself from outside forces, him and Timothy Oliphant's character will combine forces a lot of the times, especially in the later episodes, to deal with that. And there's a lot of humanity to him as it goes longer in the show.
Yeah, this is saying like he was set up to be the antagonist, abusive, greedy, manipulative, and willing to take lives to get what he wants. However, as the show evolved, he was written to be more of a protagonist than, you know, the beginning suggested. Motivated by the irreproducible code of honor and morality, and he protects the vulnerability and genuinely cares about the people in his camp in his own way.
In his own way. And that's the big thing, too. It's that anti-hero code. It's like the Punisher or any of those type of characters where you're like, I'm not going to abide by the rules that have been set forth. I have my own rules, and I'm going to stick to those. And he does.
Another one, I think we've all seen at least a little bit, Jerry Smith from Rick and Morty.
Jerry.
Ah, Jerry.
He is his son-in-law, married to Beth, yes. Sorry. I got confused between Beth and Summer for a sec.
Oh, gosh. Don't marry Summer.
Son-in-law of Rick Sanchez, you know, he is very much described, like, he is the punching bag.
I was going to say a simple, wimpy,
just uncool, whiny. But if you are basically married to an intelligent woman who has a lot of issues because her dad is Rick.
Yeah, right.
Who abandoned her at a young age. And then you have this father-in-law living with you who is... a bajillion genius level.
Yeah, and an alcoholic.
You are going to look real stupid in comparison. And I'm sure in like any family dynamic, whether it's like an in-law or a sibling, you have felt that inferior, like even if they don't mean to, you are going to feel inferior and that wimpy, like, cool. Yeah, I'm the punching bag here. And so I can see how people can definitely, he causes problems and you're like, Jerry, shut the hell up. But he's relatable. He really is. More so than any of the other characters, realistically.
It's funny because I just watched an episode where he shows everyone his R2-D2 quarter collection or whatever.
Oh, my God.
He's like, what do you think of this? And he's like, you know, Jerry, these might not go up in value. They might not even retain their value. But they mean something to you, which makes it special to you.
That makes them valuable. Yeah, it's with Simple Rick.
Simple Rick.
I think that's what it was. Like Dumb Rick or Simple Rick, something like that. Because he's from a different dimension where he's not. He's intelligent, but he's dumb.
Yeah.
He's just simple.
Yeah. And it's just that whole idea of like everyone makes Jerry feel bad for being him. You know, just for liking the things he likes. And it's like, he's found a person who finally accepts him for who he is.
It's the perfect Rick.
Aww.
It was actually really sweet. And then he gets gross. I can't even say the line, which makes me laugh.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me there.
You know that guy eats? Nope.
Nope. Next person. Is there anyone else?
All right. Bob's Burgers, anybody?
The antagonist would be... Oh, okay.
There's a few antagonists.
I know. I'm trying to think of the...
he appears in the first episode, if you remember the first episode.
Jimmy. Jimmy from across
Jimmy
the street.
Jimmy Pesto, no.
Okay.
He's just in... a butthole.
Yeah.
No, this is an antagonist that appears in the very first episode.
Oh.
Hugo, the health inspector.
Oh, Hugo. Yeah, he's the worst.
So he continues. So if you haven't watched Bob's Burgers or seen the first episode, Hugo's this health inspector. He's going to check out the restaurant because there were reports that they're making their burgers with human meat. Because the youngest daughter, Louise, during show and tell, wanted to step it up and be like, yeah, ours is made with human body parts from the crematorium next door.
Oh, God.
And so the rumor got spread, and so the health inspector had to come in. He finds out that Bob is married to Linda, the woman like he was engaged to, and Linda left him when she met Bob.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, they were engaged. Okay. So he still kind of has a thing for Linda.
Like, I just hated him. And so I must have completely missed all of that because I don't think I ever realized
in, like,
that.
Later seasons, they kind of do
some layers to that.
They do a fun episode because I started rewatching it because I stopped after a certain couple of seasons and I've been way behind. And in one of the newer ones I've seen, they do a what if Bob didn't have his mustache, what would happen? Because they joke that his mustache is the reason why him and Linda got together. She threw up her arm while she was telling a story. Her engagement ring got caught in his mustache. And she's like, oh, that mustache, really good looking.
Pure love.
And then, like, she decided to, like, go out with him and just, you know, dump Hugo. So he's relatable in the sense of, like, he's not likable. But he, he's ongoing efforts to close down Bob's Burgers joint. Can, you know, it's seen as petty and part of a desperate plea for his ex-girlfriend to come back to him. However, Hugo does take his job as a health inspector very serious after all.
True.
It's all he has besides Ron, which is his, you know, cohort.
Mm-hmm.
And even Ron's pretty chill. Like, he's like, he does what Hugo tells him, but when Ron's by himself, he's pretty cool with everyone. But like, he's looking out for the welfare of the consumers. It's an important job. He seems to do that with most of the places that he goes to.
Yeah, that actually puts a new super layer onto the character that I really kind of just thought was just a D-bag.
Yeah, like, I mean, he truly cares about his job, unfortunately, because that's all he has.
Yeah.
But he truly cares. But if you guys, whether they're TV or movie, what is an antagonist that you relate to or that you really like? Like, Loki's a good one.
Oh, that, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Is it just because he's sexy, super sexy?
Yeah, he gets better at the end. I mean, who hasn't turned into a snake to, you know, trick your brother and stab him, if, you know, last second.
That was a good one.
We all do that. Well, until next time, stay nerdy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.